This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. The band is back together. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee, Brian Rowich from ESPN West Palm, Jonathan Hood from ESPN Chicago. Also catch him every Sunday, a part of Wrestle Nation on Sirius XM, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern Time. All right, boys, we got a lot of things to dive into, and where we begin. So Seth Rollins, I don't think it's a work this time. I think he's actually legitimately injured because he was stripped of the WWE World Heavyweight Championship on Monday night on Raw. We knew that CM Punk was in line for a championship opportunity, so he was placed in a championship main event of Saturday night's main event coming up on November 1st. So we had to figure out who's going to be challenging Punk for the vacant WWE World Heavyweight Championship. And ensuing Battle Royal on Raw, Jey Uso is the winner. Punk, Jey, Saturday night's main event. Should CM Punk walk out of the Saturday night's main events with the World Heavyweight Championship?
Yes, he should. Yes, he should. And the reason why is because he was going to be the heir apparent anyway, Brian, Gabe, to be the world champion. We just didn't know when. But now I think this is the right time. I think we've discovered, and I guess we're going to have to say that Brian was right about Jey Uso. That Jey Uso, whether he has the championship or not, is a supreme babyface that everyone loves. So whether he's a champion or not, he still is in the same spot.
So I refute your Brian is right with this. What if heel Jey Uso is the champion?
It still feels like babyface Jey Uso, though. He has a little bit of edge, but he's still getting the babyface cheers, which is a problem in this company. They never do a full 180. It's just a little bit because the music's the same, the outfits are the same. So that's the problem.
If Jey turns heel, he has to change his music. Like, learn the lesson from Seth Rollins. Like, you cannot have everybody chanting, whoa, whoa, as he's coming out and then doing his catchphrases as he's cutting a promo. That's not heel-like behavior, and it ends up kind of being this tweener. But if you're going to turn Jey Uso heel, turn Jey Uso heel, right? Like, the only time, and again, of all the things of the John Cena heel turn, of all the things that didn't work, I actually bought into, no, that's me. That's my song. Yeah. I'm singing on it. That's for me. I'm keeping that as my theme, which, okay, I can buy into that. Like, everybody who's going to be yeeting as heel Jey Uso comes down, that's not going to feel the same because people are going to want to do the yeet and do all those things. So I think it's really interesting to me that they decided to completely punt on Bron Breakker, at least this time around, because they knew Seth needed surgery the previous Monday when the Vision turned on him and left him laying out, right? Like, that was just the angle to get Seth off of television. He walked away with the World Heavyweight Championship. And while I enjoy Adam Pearce finally growing a pair and sticking up for himself and saying, hey, you can't be in this battle royal, it kind of feels weird that he walked out with the championship and now has nothing to do with the championship because he's going to be lingering. And is this just going to be a transitional championship for Punk or Jey? Or are they actually going to keep the Vision away from the championship? I guess that's what I have to figure out before I decide who's going to be champion, because it seems like Braun is really close to being ready to having one of those main titles.
Yeah, I agree with that. Like, that's the part that's confusing, because I almost lean no on Punk because it feels like it's not a big enough event. Like, him getting his first title run coming out of a main event that isn't going to be on NBC doesn't feel special enough. But if he's dropping it to Braun, all of a sudden it feels a little more special. But when would he drop it? Like, Survivor Series is only a few weeks later. Does he hold it till the Rumble and then Braun wins it there? Because Braun beating Punk for the title is a moment. And that is a star-making moment for Braun. But how quick of a run is this Punk run going to be?
Sounds like this would be a great WrestleMania moment.
Yeah. But how do you keep that fresh for 6 months now? Like, what are those two doing, Braun and Bronson?
So is that the goal for them to run roughshod of WWE, or just all three of those guys, Bron Breakker and Heyman going after Punk? Is that the story we're telling?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I can't imagine you keep them away from the, like, we've done Paul Heyman trying to manage mid-card talent before, and it doesn't work.
Right.
It just doesn't happen.
Hey, don't be saying that about Curtis Axel. Don't you be saying that about Joe Hennig. Don't do that.
What are you saying?
Yeah. So we kind of have to have him near the main. And I don't know if they don't get involved in that match at Saturday night's main events, like, I guess I'll be shocked. But then at the same time, then you're without a champion for so long because they get involved. There's a DQ. You're not going to crown a champion. Is it going to get triple? I just don't know. It feels like they're going to get involved, whether Heyman wants them to or not. It feels like Bron Breakker, in the very little that he said on Monday Night Raw, spoke volumes of how pissed off he is that he walked in with the championship and then he walked out with not even an opportunity to go after that championship. So it feels like he needs to insert himself, even if that goes against the wishes of the Oracle.
Well, I haven't thought of it that way. Does that so? Say we get a DQ, no one wins the title at Saturday Night's main event. Survivor Series is Punk, Jay, and Braun. Braun wins the title there. Does that do it for you?
No, yeah, you gotta have a winner here. Wait, hold on a second now.
It's the WWE. They don't care about wins and losses.
I know they don't care about DQ finishes because we get a whole bunch of that. But this is a moment here. This is for you have your battle royal, your old school battle royal. Mm-hmm. It comes down to Jay Uso against CM Punk. You have to have a winner here. Come on now. Let's not do that. Let's not do that in a big, match.
I would prefer to have a winner, but the only thing, and look, Saturday night's main event could very well turn. And is Saturday night's main event continuing into 2026 or is it done after 25? Do we have any idea?
Brian?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's done because they pissed off NBC and they had to just squeeze these onto Peacock.
So
I don't know that. I don't know the answer to that.
Yeah, I mean, but we thought they were going to be big, and they've kind of just felt more house showy. However, if you do have in the collection of Saturday Night's main events, the last match ever for Goldberg, CM Punk becoming champion, and the last ever match for John Cena, that's more cachet than a lot of the PLEs for WWE have outside the pillar events. Like, I mean, if they actually do crown a champion, like Saturday Night's main event suddenly starts climbing the ranks of things that are important you have to pay attention to.
Yeah, and maybe that moves over to ESPN direct to consumer after this next year. Maybe. So, because that would cut the ties totally with NBC.
No, because they still have SmackDown.
Well, yes, that's
because that's right, it's USA. All owned by that's all by NBC Universal or whatever Comcast, whatever they're calling themselves.
That's correct. No, you're right. That's all NBC Universal. I should know that. I sleep with someone that works there. So I should know that.
They got to apologize later.
I got to roll over and just apologize to her. I'm sorry. Sorry. And by the way, she should know. And my wife should know that, too. She should know whether or not Saturday Night's main event is still part of it.
I'm sure it's high on their priority list.
You're talking about someone that's fit to be tied with a doubleheader on NBC for the NBA. My God. I almost stayed at the Neitzels this week. Good Lord.
Oh, we've got a spot for you. Don't worry, Jay Hood. But it's just, I mean, I would prefer them have a champion. But at the same time, I don't know how you keep, like, even if you make, because I think if Braun, you make it far enough to the Rumble and Braun wins the Rumble, like, that's a moment, sets up a main, but I don't, can we keep Braun away for the next 3 months from the championship to get him? Because that's the 31st of January. That's 3 months away of keeping Braun away from the championship just to get him into the Rumble. I think that's asking a whole heck of a lot.
Well, what I would ask is, if it's not going to be Bron Breakker, then who else would be vying for the championship if Punk wins it? Like, is that the Usos going after him? Is that Jay wanting his revenge? And who else? Because we're talking about a thin roster here.
Yeah.
It's a big promotion, but it's a thin roster. Who is new or who would be vying for the championship?
If we did an exercise like this last week. I think Roman, whenever Roman comes back, could be on that short list.
There you go.
Whenever Gunther comes back is on that short list.
after his match with Cena.
Correct.
Right. Rusev, can you push him up?
No, he has problems with Dom.
Okay.
And by the way, cold as ice, Rusev. Yes. Nobody cares.
No.
That's a shame. And we are, all three of us are a fan, but nobody cares. Nobody cares about Rusev, and it's sad. The guy can go, but if he was trying to be a babyface against Dom, if he's trying to be a heel against Dom, nobody cared on Monday.
Oh, that is rough.
I mean, at what point is Dom ready?
Well, what if Punk is tied up with War Games, which who knows what they're doing with that right now?
My guess is War Games is going to involve the Wyatts.
The Wyatts? That feels like a letdown. The Wyatts versus the store brand Bloodline? Like, that feels like a letdown.
So let's talk about ice cold.
Yeah.
Store brand Costco Bloodline.
I mean,
that's a good value Bloodline.
You know what? That's really a shame. What did you just do there? You called them generic brand Bloodline.
They're not the Bloodline.
Well, that's still good food, too.
Yes. So now that I'm looking at the schedule, Survivor Series War Games, November 29th, December 13th, Saturday Night's main event, which will be Cena's final match. There's no pay-per-view until the Rumble on January 31st.
But to your point, though, you have to tell a story here. Right. You got to tell stories. It's not saying this Punk's going to be wrestling every Raw or SmackDown anyway. So just like, but you still got to tell stories and ramp up to those events. I get
it. So let's back up even further. Was Jay the right choice to win the Battle Royal?
Well, did you see that Battle Royal? What a nonsense Battle Royal that was. Like 85 to 90% of the people in there, you know, were never going to win.
Uh-huh.
You really want to put it actually was an expose on WWE by putting Tozawa in the mix. Really?
There's no one else there.
Freaking Tozawa. Yeah, you're in catering. Come on in. I mean, look at it. Tell me, how many people in that Battle Royal do you really think could win? Think about it.
Two.
Four?
Oh, two. Jey Uso and LA Knight. Because LA Knight could job at main event and be fine.
Apparently.
Honestly, make him the transitional champ.
I found myself rooting for Jimmy.
Oh.
Because I thought that would just at least be interesting. Because the story they're telling about Jay going after that World Heavyweight Championship, but also trying to like stay tight with his brother. How does Jay handle his brother getting that World Championship opportunity instead of him? I thought that could have been an interesting way to go. So I found myself, especially as it continued on, Jimmy's helping out Jay, but then Jay obviously, in the old WWE trope, eventually eliminates Jimmy. From the Battle Royal. So obviously that pipe dream. And again, I didn't think that they would put the World Heavyweight Championship on Jimmy. I think you could have told an interesting story and then continued the Usos and whatever they're doing afterwards once you do put the championship on Punk. But I might have gone Jimmy and given him that opportunity at Saturday night's main event, even though everybody knows he's not. You could have had a couple of moments in there where you're like, wait, are they actually going to put this on Jimmy before Punk gives him the GTS 1-2-3?
LA Knight could have won, then won the title because of the Vision, and then dropped it right back to them a few weeks later, Survivor Series. And then he'd be able to say, hey, I won a world title.
Yeah, I mean, you could have gone that way too, if it is indeed going to be a transitional championship. Because again, there's a lot of issues right now around that World Heavyweight Championship.
Yes. And that's, looking at these participants, I'm looking at the order of elimination. Eliminated six after Rusev, Ivar.
Right. Not of his tag team partner. Where is he? Where's the other guy?
I think his tag team partner had previously planned vacation. I thought I saw that report somewhere. Like he was already, he was just off, and that's why he wasn't there.
This company. My God. PTO in. I mean, that Battle Royal was so discount. I mean, WWE loves his sponsorships. It should have been sponsored by Aldi.
Honestly, you knew it was coming. It wasn't like you couldn't fly people over from SmackDown. Like, you knew Rollins was hurt. You knew this is the route you were going. But
it was so weak. And I was just like, boy, is this the best that WWE can offer for the World Heavyweight Championship? I said, this is a two-man race here.
Yeah.
I can't say I was disappointed, but it just kind of just showed you like who's in the back here for WWE. And it's not, that wasn't good at all.
It is rough.
Man. I mean, thank goodness for TKO and their millions and billions of dollars, because this, they're getting is mid. That's what they're getting right now. Mid wrestling. Welcome to mid wrestling.
They're coming your way soon. February Elimination Chamber in Chicago.
Yes, I saw that. I guess I'm going to have to cover, huh? Because I got to be in there.
You're going to be in one of the pods covering it.
Live from pod number 3.
Could you imagine? The Elimination Chamber. The spotlight comes on me.
Oh,
God. And Orton says, come on. No.
You know what, Randy? I'm good. I'm good. Just open that door. I'll quietly exit behind you.
I'll close it back.
We've got a lot more things to dive into on today's episode. We call it the three count. The top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. What's number one this week, Brian?
This past week in the world of AEW was Wrestle Dream in St. Louis. And the main event has, well, been met with some controversy. Mox versus Darby. Darby getting the win in the I Quit match. We saw some drowning attempts. We saw stabbings and fingernails and all that sort of fun stuff. Did you have an issue with Darby versus Mox?
I did not. I mean, it was on. This felt like it went long even for an AEW pay-per-view. And I don't know if that was purposeful because they wanted to make sure that this was going to be on late. You have two psychopaths in an I Quit match. What were we expecting to happen? Like, they were, you know, again, telegraphing all these different things. I mean, they had he came out with a flamethrower on television. Like, yeah. If we're putting flamethrowers on TBS, what did we think was going to happen when they put it behind a paywall on pay-per-view? Like, this match was going to be gory. It was not going to be for the faint of heart. It was, you knew it was going to be met with controversy. That's not professional wrestling today. And of course, we have somebody trying to think of the children online. Would somebody think of the children? Yeah, there's a reason why it's on at midnight Eastern. Yes. All right. Like, you can turn off the television. So I personally didn't have a problem with it because this was what I was kind of expecting. Like, if you pay attention to the product at all, these two were going, this is what was going to happen. This was always what was going to happen. They advertised it as such. So if you were expecting less, that's on you.
Don't forget about the Molotov cocktail in which the security guard thought it was a shoot. You know, they thought like, yeah, he's a performer, but you can't have that. They tackled him in Jacksonville. You remember that?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Tackled him. I'm like, what? Like the security. Hey, it's just a game, man. They're just doing a show. No. He tackled him for real.
Hey, no, look, ribs. Look, that's if you're a security guy and the Molotov cocktail goes off. Yeah. You're not living that one down. Better safe than sorry. No. I get it.
No. The whole point is, guys, is that you knew this was going to be Ric Flair, Rick Steamboat classic between these two. We wondered on this show, like, after you had the match before, how would you be able to top it with an I Quit match? Well, they did. Mm-hmm. What we saw is at your local indie every weekend. The skewers and the fingernails, maybe not the fishbowl where you're trying to waterboard someone. You probably don't get the waterboarding. Maybe not the waterboarding. Maybe we're not getting that. Yeah. But we're getting all the stuff in between, though. And so I'm not surprised that we saw that. John Moxley and Darby Allin, when you saw them in an Independence, Missouri prison doing a promo, you knew there was going to be something wild. I'm actually, Brian, more taken aback by Tony Khan saying that John Moxley's Harley Race. I'm more offended at that than the main event of Wrestle Dream.
JBL agreed with Tony. He said he made a good point.
JBL's an idiot. How about that? He's an idiot.
All right, there's that.
Harley Race was a legit tough guy. John Moxley? Well, tell me about those street fights that John Moxley had versus Harley Race. Harley Race is a legit tough guy. He backed down Andre the Giant as a shoot. Backed him down. So, yeah, no. As we say in Chicago. Yeah, no. All right.
So I will say, he just defended Tony. He agrees, though, you can't put those two in the same comparison, Harley and Moxley. So that's fair.
And besides that, JBL's an idiot.
Okay, all right.
Okay, so you're not going to back down from that. Okay, all right.
No.
So I will say, like, they made this so easy to skip. If it's not your cup of tea, they put it on last. It wasn't like it was this co-main event where it's like, oh, I really want to watch Hangman versus Joe. Let me try and fast forward this. Oh, no, I just saw someone drowning. Like, you could have just turned off the pay-per-view. Like, it was very easy if it wasn't your cup of tea. Honestly, my only issue was the finish. Like, after all that, like, the Scorpion Deathlock being the finish, I would have flipped their two matches. Like, the hanging from the last pay-per-view and where Mox quit that way, that I feel like would have fit better in this match. That was honestly my only issue with the match.
Yeah, Gabe and I talked about it. Gabe and I just talked about that the previous show. Like, wasn't that the finish with Hangman? Was that not a submission?
Yeah.
Did he not tap out? He already said, I quit. So what makes this match unique? He said, I quit again. So
tapping out to a wrestling move after that, it's weird.
And I know that the announce team tried to sell it like he was on some of the glass that was still there. You know, they tried to sell it. And I also saw a report, the reason why Mox had to tap so quickly instead of, like, hold on to it for a little bit is because they were running out of time. Which, again, you run a show that long, it's going to have a tendency to happen from time to time. So that was also a report that I saw, that the reason why Mox didn't try to hang on. Now, again, that was, I'm with you. That finish of him just tapping to the Scorpion Deathlock was a little disappointing.
Yeah.
I'm curious what happens with Mox going forward. I kind of enjoyed what they started to build last night of Mox starting to doubt himself, because he's basically said, I quit twice now in the last couple of months. So I'm really curious to see what happens with Mox going forward. And I think that's hope. I'm guessing it's away from Darby. I don't know what you do with Darby, but if you had an issue with Darby versus Mox, one, you're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. B, you're doing it just to try to get attention, because as you said, it was just so skippable. Like, they put it at the end. It was the main event, as it should have been, because it was a blood feud. Like, it was the biggest story that they had going into that pay-per-view. So if you had an issue with it, it says more about you than anybody else, because you could have easily skipped it.
Yep.
Yeah. No, there's no question about that. It had a lights out effect. You know, the old lights out stipulation would be, hey, you know, the card is over, but this match is an extra. We have nothing to do with this. We are not going to have any problems with this. We are leaving, so those wrestlers can go at it, so it's lights out. It felt lights out to me. Like, I felt like the end of the pay-per-view was Hangman Page and Samoa Joe, but then the extra. But Gabe's right. It was the best story that AEW had going, so it deserved that main event status. It was wild, and I just want to give St. Louis a lot of credit, too. It's a long show, but they stayed in it. And by the way, the card was damn near flawless up to that, except the main event and the finish of that. But it's almost like an A-, and that crowd, they were roaring. It's a great wrestling town, St. Louis, so hats off to them. I almost went. But then I didn't want to stay up until like 2 o'clock in the morning
driving
Tony with his press conference. Like, oh my God. I almost went to cover for us, because that's an easy drive, but not that time of night. No, no, thank you.
And them trying new things, like creative in terms of the pre-show rolling into the main show, like things like that.
Yeah,
like,
it was cool.
I was legit confused. I got home like a couple minutes after I put it on. I'm like, why is this match going? Like, what did I miss? Like, how did they start so fast? I'm like, oh, it's still going to the show.
I happened to, like, I started watching I had nothing going on on Saturday. So it's just like, oh, I forgot they were doing the live thing on TNT. Oh, I'll just flip over, see what's going on. And then that match bleeds over. I'm like, well, I guess I got to fire up HBO Max now so I can see the rest of this match. And again, some people had a problem with that too. Like,
how?
Again, if these are the things you are complaining about, you don't actually like professional wrestling, you're part of this WWE, AEW online fan war that I'm still not even convinced is actually real. Like, it was just cool that, these guys, because they talked about it, like going in, like, I don't know how we're going to fit this match in. These guys hate each other. And it was a fun way to start the pay-per-view, I thought.
Brian, you had to look this up. Raj Geary follows us.
Yep.
And he aggregates a lot of our stuff, and I like Raj. I just disagree with him where he said, and I know what Gabe's talking about.
Yeah.
Because Raj was just like, can't they time their show better than this? And I'm like, no, Raj, that's the reason why they did it, because it was so unique. It was from the pre-show, the pyro's going off as the show actually starts, and they're still fighting while the pyro's going on. It was cool. It was different.
Yeah. No, I mean, and someone like Raj, should know better. He should know better.
Like Gigantic Pop, I think it's a podcast, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you're being purposefully obtuse.
Yep.
To try to make a point.
Which they should time the show better.
When I spend $50 on a pay-per-view, I like a great opening to get me hyped for the show, and then the entrances, and then the first match. That's just me, I guess. Why can't it be different once? It's like, why does it have to follow that formula?
I liked it with the lights out and the pyro in the back, and they're fighting each other. I'm like, yeah. What is going on? Like, it's wild, right? It's like, also part of that pre-show, just want to point out, because we're talking about Mox, is the greatest promo that Renee Paquette's ever cut.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's going to be a story, but if, for those that missed it, then they should have isolated a camera on her, but it was just a four shot. But she's just like, you know, I'm a mom, and, you know, I have a daughter, and she's really mad at Mox and doesn't know exactly what to do. But it was a really good, solid two-minute promo to make me think that Renee will have something to do with this story with Mox, because that's real life. So I just thought that was very good, too.
That sounds like someone that's very upset about the amount of forks she has lost over the last few years. That's what I'm hearing.
That's fair.
John, where's the fork? Like,
yeah. How do we have one fork? Yeah.
Like, no.
He's not Harley Race.
Okay.
Now you can go to the next cut.
All right.
Number two.
We found out last night the brackets for the AEW Women's Tag Team titles. It'll be Queen Amanetta and Jamie Hayter versus Sky Blue and Julia Hart. Willow and Harley take on Athena and Mercedes Moné. Windsor and Riho take on Toni Storm and Mina. And Megan Bain and Penelope Ford take on TJ. Who should win the first ever AEW Women's Tag Team titles?
Some really interesting opening round matchups. Willow and Harley versus Moné and Athena feel could be a final.
Uh-huh.
Because outside of those two, I would say Toni and Mina have the best opportunity. I think Moné and Athena would be really interesting just because it adds to the collection of Mercedes. Athena's a forever champion. And it seems like AEW likes going with kind of that heel as their first ever champion for a lot of these different things. You know, I think back to Chris Jericho, and how, you know, he was the first ever, you know, AEW World Heavyweight Champion. And it's just easier to kind of tell a story of one of these babyface teams than trying to chase the heel team. But it kind of feels like it's going to be Toni and Mina. Just they're on the other side of the bracket away from that. It seems like that's the easiest way to go and try to give the World Women's Tag Team Championships credibility, is to give it to one of your biggest stars off the bat, and that's Toni Storm.
So, like you said, based on the brackets, Gabe, so we could probably get a Toni, Mina, and Athena, Moné final? Is that how it looks?
Yep.
That would be my guess, which makes me sad for Willow and Harley.
Yeah, I mean, well, someone's got to take Harley's got to take the pinfall. Someone's got to take it.
Yeah.
Like, at some point. But I agree. I'd like to have Harley in more serious scenarios, at least from a wrestling standpoint. But the promos never change. But I like for her to get some wins. All good there. But,
she did an awesome mini Moné promo last night with the puppet. It was fantastic.
She was so good at it.
It's just so funny. It's kind of,
you're talking about Renee. Poor Renee is trying to keep a straight face in the ring while this is going on.
You know what? That's some of the stuff that WWE is missing. They've gotten so TKO and so UFC serious that you don't get the lighthearted stuff as much anymore. Because that what's funny to Triple H is R-Truth. All
right,
great.
Right.
But at least you get some kind of comedy here with Harley, which I think is fun. So the Toni and Moné, I'm sorry, the Moné and Athena promo confused me. I'm like, just out of nowhere, Athena's like, come on, girl, let me just show you. Like, wait, I thought that they were like blood enemies. They had their matchup once, and what happened there?
And also, Athena talked about, I'm blanking her name now, her other partner.
Dominion.
Like, where? What happened there? Like, they talked about being champions together.
That's where they. I don't know. Like, Moné and Athena just seems weird to me because Moné is so she's so above everything else because of her championships and how she's acting, you know, as a heel. And Athena came across as kind of a babyface. It's just kind of weird.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just felt weird. But Tony Amina, I think, is the play. Tony was completely spaced out in St. Louis when she lost again to Stat Lattner. She was in like a whole different planet and just kind of, and then Mina showing her her sexiness. And of course that feeling that they are together.
Right.
For whatever reason. Speaking of scissor me daddy. I just think that was very strange. Right, they're trying to make you believe that they're lovers. That's what they're trying to do. AEW.
Well, remember they had the connection when what's her face was still there, who's now Blake Monroe.
Mariah May.
Mariah May.
Mina was part of that whole storyline. I really think that the Willow and Harley part is interesting to me because I feel like it'd be nice to almost reward them for like everything they've done for the company. But bracket wise, it doesn't make sense. Like Tony and Mina versus Willow and Harley at the end. That's just confusing with two over baby faces.
Mm-hmm.
But
having them, like, if Willow and Harley were in the Bane and Ford spot, right?
Right.
And then you could have kind of those two baby face teams. Like, they should have just done a baby face side and a heel side.
Sure.
Because it's a bracket, right? Like, you don't need the baby face versus heel story. It's just, okay, you're trying to win a championship. That's the story. And it kind of self-contains itself. But then you could have had a fun baby face to go on and face Mercedes versus Athena.
Yeah, I'd be 100% okay with that. But it does feel like Athena Mercedes versus Tony Mina will be a great match. We have no details on the when all these things are going to happen. I assume it leads up to the next pay-per-view at Full Gear. It'll finish up there, hopefully.
I'm guessing because it starts – they did say it starts next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
I missed that.
Yeah. So they'll the timing of it makes sense that you'd have the championship match at Full Gear. I think
Brian, I want you to bring Mrs. Burowitz into the room and show her Megan Bain, and she'll ask you, is she not the world champion?
Right.
That's wild that we're not talking about her as like one of the finalists here, but this, and she's what you said, Penelope Ford.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I like those two together, but I like Megan Bain because look at her. She looks like the world champion. Like, she's beautiful. She can wrestle. She has just an unbelievable look. It's like, and she's going to lose in the first round.
And that's why I think, go back.
They'll beat TJ.
Yeah, they'll beat them. And then they'll lose to Tony.
Hey, wait a minute. I mean, I like a TJ. I think there's pretty good.
Who are you? You just love everyone can win, hud.
Yeah. a double count out.
Okay.
That's what'll happen.
Like, the only one, and I don't even know if Hood dislikes this team, but he'll just agree that Aminata and Hayter are not winning. I don't think Queen Aminata is allowed to win on our televisions.
But I'd be okay with them winning. I feel like the one team that can't is Windsor and Riho. Are you okay if they don't win?
Oh, they're part of that too, Windsor and Riho?
Yes, they're Tony Amina in the first round.
Tony Amina in the first round.
Yeah, I don't want them on my TV. I don't want Riho anywhere on my TV. No, you are correct, Gabe. Unfortunately, Queen Aminata, who should be probably should be part of the Hurt Syndicate. Probably should. That would probably help her. But I guess what this tells us, and there's women that's not even on this list, by the way, in this tournament. Boy, how deep that roster is. They've got the best women wrestling roster in the world. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Well, again, we've been talking about this for a while. Athena is hidden from our televisions on a pretty regular basis.
Yes.
And then the other insane part is, as this is going on, we're also a few weeks away from Women's War Games.
Right. Yeah. Now, who's in that?
Blood and Guts, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, in Greensboro. Yeah, like, who's in that?
So that's going to happen while this is happening, and this is all going on. And
Is that literally just going to be a television episode with two Blood and Guts matches?
Yes. But we always disagree. I'm sorry, we always agree together. Like, why is War Games not a pay-per-view?
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't want commercial interruptions in my War Games.
No, I don't want picture-in-picture. I don't want Shivani yelling at me that I can continue to follow it in picture-in-picture.
You think it's two, or do we just get one? Is it just the women's one?
Or just the men's one, right? Or no?
Well, they announced the women's one already. They made a big deal about that.
You don't need two on TV.
You don't.
But somehow, some way, it's Tony Khan, man.
And there isn't that obvious men's story, like Death Riders versus X. Like, we've done that a bunch of times. Like,
yeah,
I don't think we need the men's one.
But you saw how it was revealed. The well, maybe FTR and Young Bucks will do more than just what we're going to see here. Maybe it's going to be more of those guys together in a War Games.
I don't think we need that, though, because it's only a few weeks away. It's November 12th?
Yes. Are you going?
I didn't plan on it.
I think you should go.
Okay.
I think you should go. Someone's got to cover these events. You.
You can't cover anything at Dynamite. You're the same access as everyone else.
Well, listen, Gabe and I've got the Midwest. You got to start taking care of the Eastern Seaboard. Go ahead. Going up there.
Up and down. Up and down the Eastern Seaboard.
Yes. We got the Midwest.
Okay.
At least
think about it the way Jay Hood thought about going to WrestleMania.
Almost did. It's like, that's an easy drive. But then I realized it's AEW. It's going to be 6 hours.
Uh-huh.
6 hour card. Yeah. Driving back
it's
in the
not going to be
night.
A quick 3 hour thing.
No. Oh, my God. But I guess the bottom line is that we're just impressed by the litany of women that there are in AEW, quality women that all could vie for the world championship or whatever championship. I just think it's great.
And we haven't even talked about Julia Hart, who I've been a big fan of for a while. And they are also in it, the Sisters of Sin. I'm assuming they get the win over Aminata. They'll get to the semifinals and then bow out to presumably Monet and Athena.
Yeah.
What do we got at number three this week, Brian?
We talked about some of the feuds going on right now in pro wrestling, but what is currently the best feud in pro wrestling?
Well, I mean, over on the indies, I think you're familiar with this, Brian, the KJ Orso and Sam Stackhouse. That's a blood feud.
Yeah.
So that's over to the side. But what do you think, Ye? Because, like, does it start in AEW? Does it start with Darby Allin versus the world?
I mean, maybe, because it seems like everybody's in a transition phase right now, because we just got out of Wrestle Dream and they didn't really set up a ton of future stories or potential matchups on Dynamite last night. But Darby versus the Death Riders, Darby versus Mox has kind of been the biggest one. And obviously, like, Seth versus Punk, Seth versus Roman certainly would have been on the lists. Seth is on the show. So that kind of takes like that one out. Now they're transitioning with that. The WWE Championship also in transitional phase where it's okay. I guess it's Cody versus Drew right now over on the SmackDown side of things. It's just kind of hard to kind of pinpoint everything. It seems like we're in a very transitional phase in major professional wrestling in terms of, you know, these big feuds that have kind of been blown off in the last couple of months.
So in a lower level, it's the Don Callis family against Mark Briscoe.
See, the Don Callis one I wrote down was Okada and Takeshita.
Okada, Takeshita.
Well, can we get a little physicality? Get a little something?
It's so
the staring.
We gotta light that fuse. Like, all right, we've run the fuse long enough. Can we get a spark to light that bad boy? I'm ready for them to start going, because it's getting to the point where, all right, if you tease this one more time without paying it off, I'm done. Like, do whatever you want at this point.
Or are they trying to milk the clock to where we get those two in the Tokyo Dome?
Oh, I think that's a good possibility.
But that's
in January.
3 months away. Yeah.
That's
closer. It's two and a half, because that's early January.
Right, so.
That's early January.
And I think we could get that match, but that does nothing for AEW business.
No. Nope. Sure.
So, but no, I want to see the match, though. Don't get me wrong. but then again, I want to see the match, but then I've got to be trying to figure out how to get back into my New Japan app. And then I've got to pay for it for 11 months because I can't get out of it because I don't speak Japanese or don't read Japanese.
All this time.
It's just like, oh my God.
New Japan does it to us every year. Right. They put a match on there. It's like, God, I can't miss that. I got to go sign up for it. They do it every year.
They almost got me last week. I've read good things about Takeshita winning the title over Sabre Jr. And I thought about it. I'm like, January's so close. I was like, I'm going to hold off.
Just let it go. Just let it go.
Yep.
Because you know what? That's a hell of a match, but you feel like you're going to see something better
right
at Wrestle Kingdom. I get it.
I showed restraint.
Io Sky or Asuka against the world. Asuka against Io Sky. Does that qualify?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
The one I wrote down, I think WWE, that qualifies. I'm enjoying Becky and Maxine. Like, it's not like top level, but I'm enjoying it to where Maxine's getting to not be a star, but it's an elevation. Not, like, it's God something different. It's Maxine, a new star they're trying to make.
You're better than that.
Maxine, I applaud them.
Stop. She's
we
on
talked
the show.
About how weak this roster is. Now they're making a new star. We're trying to.
She's a guest on the show. Now you fall in love.
No, I think Becky is not good.
She has had her best two matches we've ever seen.
Yes.
The last two times she's been in the ring.
I can't believe I threw that water bottle, but we're moving anyway, so I guess it doesn't matter. Put a dent in this. It's okay. Sorry. Sorry, Craig.
Unbelievable.
It's all right. I'll go to ChatGPT and figure out an apology.
I'm trying to think because, I mean, we just had a tag team change in WWE, but it's not like that was a big feud, right? Like,
right.
AJ just found a random partner to go over Judgment Day.
I mean, you talk about long fuses. The Judgment Day breakup's been going on for 3.5 years at this point.
Judgment Day, yeah.
Like, when are they pulling the trigger on that one?
So I think the answer is anything that Darby Allin's involved in. Because you know why? Because what I think we talked about this before, Gabe, last week. Darby Allin feels more like the world champion than Hangman Page does. Meaning that
he's been featured more.
Featured more, people care more. Like I think so. This is not a shot at Hangman Page. It's just about the booking. Like, it's cool that the ops out of nowhere, and I thought that this was going to be a clean match, Samoa Joe against Hangman Page, handshake, goodbye, right? Nah, Samoa Joe wants some more, right? And so now it's the ops against Hangman Page. But Darby Allin, because of his interviews that are so real, who says, by the way, I don't know if we got to get this out of wrestling, but because this was not a thing even when we started this show, this whole thing of I'm good with dying, I'll die in the ring, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to die. So you're just not worried about kids at all, right? Yeah. You're talking about that's like it's a movie now, like it's rated R. I'll die for AEW. No, you won't. You better not. Don't you die for that company.
I mean, just that guy, I feel like, is the only one where it's believable, is Darby specifically.
He doesn't mind dying for wrestling, for AEW.
Doesn't feel like it.
That's what he said. But kind of, I mean, that's what he said yesterday.
He does a good job of selling it. He does a great job of selling
it. Holy cow. But this was not a thing. You did not say kill or I'm going to kill you in the ring. Or I'm going to die. Like, you never got this. And AEW is wide open. That's crazy to me.
You mentioned Hangman. Would you consider Hangman and Joe now that we got heel Joe?
Maybe in a little bit.
On the list, yep. It's new.
And I feel like we get it. We're going to get Hangman Joe again at the pay-per-view. Hangman wins again. But
correct.
Joe as a heel just takes it to a next level.
Oh, yeah, because, again, Joe is just fantastic. Yeah. But I think we already – guys, we obviously missed, and I know we haven't seen him on television here in a couple of weeks, but the obvious answer is the biggest feud in pro wrestling right now is Christian versus Fathers.
Ah, that's a good one. Where is he, by the way? Why have we not seen him?
Because Copeland left.
Yeah, because Cope's off filming something. I don't know what it is, but he's got a TV show or movie or something that he's doing.
That just died right there on the vine in Toronto. It's like, get up. Well, I got to leave. I got to figure out my wife. And then it just leaves. And then Christian's like, I don't have a family. And then he goes, and scene.
Thanks for
and that'll be all. That's it.
I mean, one of my favorite reactions when we found out that like AEW was partnering up with like DC to do some like different comics, my favorite response was a picture of Christian next to Batman. Christian going, "So Bruce,
oh no,
I understand you don't have a father."
Oh no. I'd still put him on TV just for that. Just fly in and just do a father promo and then fly back. That's what I would do, just to keep that joke going. I'm saying.
It's fantastic.
It just shows you in today's wrestling that you just don't have the blood feud that would last a year, right? There's no Freebirds Von Erichs. There's no JYD, Michael Hayes. There's no Ted DiBiase. Like, it's not that anymore. Hogan against somebody.
I mean, the only thing The only thing we've had close to that, or I guess two things kind of close, would be Cody versus Roman in the Bloodline, Cody versus Bloodline. But even that cooled off before they heated it back up for round two. And then Swerve versus Hangman.
Right. Yeah. But we just don't have those things right now. These are what we're talking about is relatively new, especially since Darby came back. Darby's the one that's fighting to be on top, trying to fight from underneath, and will take all those bumps, which is insane to me, taking all those bumps just to say I'm the heart and soul of AEW, more so than Hangman Page, more so than Will Ospreay, more so than anybody else. I'm the guy. That's a hell of a thing. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with having more than one babyface that matters. I'm just saying that I think that's very interesting that Darby's booked as like tippy top. I'm the guy. I represent the banner.
I said this last week, so I'm curious your thoughts, Brian, because when we talked about this last week getting ready for WrestleDream, it feels like they're just kind of going forward with obviously subtle tweaks with what is pretty clear their original plan for Darby was, right? Like, it's pretty obvious at this point that Darby was supposed to be the one that took the championship off of Mox, but they're just still kind of going forward with that blood feud and all of that anyway.
Yeah, it feels like almost, because we've talked about the world title right now with Hangman, I think part of the issue with the booking is we're just waiting for MJF to become champion. Where he's off right now filming something, he'll be back. I could see a world where next summer it is Darby beating MJF for the title. Like, MJF takes it from Hangman early in the year, and then he drops it to Darby at All In, All Out. Like, I don't even know what they consider their Mania at this point. Like, it feels like it switches, but like, that could be a path we're on right now.
Their Mania is All Out, isn't it?
Yes. No. It's All In. Because that's All In's the stadium show.
It's All In.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. All In's the stadium show. So if they do, I guess if they go back to Wembley next year for All In, it's All In.
Yeah, I think they're back there.
Yeah, so Brian, let's just follow the breadcrumbs. Their biggest house is their biggest event.
Gotcha. Yeah. August 30th and 26th, they are at Wembley for All In.
And we'll be covering there. We'll be there next year.
All right.
Looking forward to carrying the banner of GKW. We'll be there. So that's their biggest – their biggest house is their biggest event.
All right. I think that's fair. I guess it's so different because, like, you know, we've been WWE trained where this is the big match, the big pay-per-view, it's Mania, it's the Rumble, and then everything else. Just like, all right, we'll get through it. But every AEW pay-per-view is such an A-minus. You're like, oh, that was really big. They put a lot into this. So it's like, how do we stand out?
Well, to your point, it should be marketed that way. It should be marketed better. Like, hey, all of our events are important, but this one, you got to come see it. And they don't do the countdown to WrestleMania or to their event like they do for WrestleMania. That's, again, poor marketing.
Sure.
All right, what do we got in news and notes?
All right, Kurt Angle was on with Ariel Helwani and said his TNA career was better than his WWE one, saying, quote, I had better matches, and that's really hard to say because I had some really great ones in the WWE.
Well, I think that's 100% true.
Uh-huh. I think we talked about that around the time, a different time that Kurt was relevant. I don't know if it was Hall of Fame. I don't know if it was retirement. I can't remember the timing. Where, yeah, Kurt's more of a TNA guy than he was a WWE guy. Again, crazy as that is to say. Like, and he was in TNA a lot longer than he was in WWE. He did a lot of things in WWE, so it feels longer than 6 years. But, yeah, his main run with WWE before he came back at the end, his first run was only
and
like
he was
years.
Out of his mind. That's why he was great in TNA.
Right.
He had the hair growing in, the beard. Like, he was out of his mind. Those matches against Samoa Joe, Sting, I mean, he had some classics in TNA. And again, nothing against the WWE run. However, it just shows you how WWE had a lack of foresight. His last match, bum Baron Corbin.
Yeah, that was rough. I know he can't go physically, but I feel like we need a way to work him into the Cena final night.
I like for him to be there. I wish he had one final match, but it was taken away from him. You know, his health is probably not where it needs to be in the ring. But I love Kurt Angle. But that's the reason why I kept ordering those TNA pay-per-views.
Yeah.
That almost broke up a happy home early in my marriage. It's like those $29.99 would be right down the bill. Like, that's not good. But I love Kurt Angle.
What's this $30 charge for TNA?
Hon, it's Kurt Angle matches. And she sits down next to me and goes, she goes, that's Vince Russo bullshit. Don't order another one again. You're paying $30 for Vince Russo book bullshit. No. Sorry, hon.
I've got some DVDs in the garage if you want. I can send them over.
Yes, please. Please, and thank you. Once again.
Saturday night, it is NXT Halloween Havoc. The Hardys will be defending the NXT Tag Team titles against Dark State, and we found out it'll be a broken rules match as Broken Matt Hardy and Brother Nero made their return on NXT television this week.
NXT has a show? What did you say, Halloween Saturday?
Havoc. Yeah. The PLE. It's Halloween Havoc.
God. It's going to be so bad.
I feel... The first time they did the broken thing in TNA, it was, again, it wasn't for everybody, but it was different. It was unique. It stood out because of that. They shepherded in the ability. And honestly, without that, they probably, WWE, I don't know if they have the cinematic matches, and I don't know if we have the memorable Undertaker versus AJ Styles match. And I think that all starts with the broken universe. But every time they've tried to bring it back, whether it was broken Matt Hardy with Bray Wyatt in WWE, whether it was broken Matt Hardy in AEW, and now it just, it feels like it's an imitation of what it was originally. And it doesn't feel as unique as it did when it initially happened, which was almost a decade ago at this point.
If the Hardys don't produce it, it won't be as good. Because they produced it from their drone, did they not?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had the complete creative control the first time around.
But if it's 100 camera cuts and it's not like the kind of grainy, gritty, you know, kind of footage the way they did it, then it just doesn't seem the same, unfortunately.
Some other matches for your Hood at Halloween Horror Nights, or not Horror Nights, Halloween Havoc. Ricky Saints defends the title against Trick Williams.
Fine.
Javon Evans and Leon Slater take on Mr. Iguana and La Parca.
You almost had me excited. Then here comes Iguana. Okay, now it became a good match to a joke match. All right, great. Great.
Zaria defends the women's North American title against Blake Monroe.
Uh-huh.
What else we got? JC Jane versus Tatum Paxley for the NXT women's title.
JC Jane, a guest will never be on here again. Go ahead.
Ethan Page defends the North American title against Theo. Dr. Wagner Jr.
Hey, JC, you're the champion. Maybe a little life, huh? Yeah. Little personality, little something. That's that good.
Moving on in news and notes, Karrion Kross in his one big week docs says he was the one getting work by the WWE, and there were red flags in the contract that they did offer him by before he left.
Man, I feel bad for Karrion. We've had him on. He's a really interesting guy. And unfortunately, I don't know if that was by design by WWE because they knew he would become a hot commodity. And so everyone was kind of scared that they'd sign him the way they did R-Truth. He seems like he's cooled off. You don't see as much buzz about him online and even some of the independent dates that he now has since booked. I'm hoping he can find some momentum somewhere. He is a really interesting guy. Have enjoyed our conversations, mm-hmm. had his book. I hope he can find some momentum on the indies. I think he will.
So this is not a work now?
Not a work.
Because the whole way I'm writing it is Triple H saying, go out in the indies, make a name for yourself. You're still contracted by WWE, but you're going to make a surprise come back at the Rumble or someplace like that, and then you'll do the McIntyre Cody thing where you made your name, people love you, and now you're back, and we're going to put you in a good spot.
But does that have the same impact?
Well, it did for Cody and McIntyre.
I know. I'm talking about this situation specifically at this point.
It sounds like it's not a work, though. So I guess not.
But it works for Cody and McIntyre because they knew that coming back to WWE wasn't a guarantee.
Yeah.
You know, like if Triple H tries to manufacture, it's just not going to be the same. I don't think you can recreate that and go, hey, this is a blueprint. I don't know if that's a blueprint.
I saw a random fan theory on Twitter. If he randomly comes back and he's the leader of the Vision and he replaces Rollins and it was his plan all along, does that get you excited?
That's quite the twist, I'll tell you that. That's quite the twist.
You'd have to boot Heyman out, though.
Heyman!
Because I don't see him and Heyman coexisting.
Get out, Heyman! So now it's an evil group. That's now because it's Cross.
Yeah.
Unless he's the Cross that we saw at the end of WWE, where he's just wild and saying stuff. He wasn't wild then, if you remember that whole thing after WrestleMania. He was just himself. He was just like, he was more Killer Cross, just like, you know what? This is bullshit. You know? Yeah. I don't know.
Did you replace Heyman with Ellering to really make it feel like at home?
All right. Move on. Okay, you didn't have to do that. That's a low blow.
Anyone remember the name of that group?
The AOP with Ellering equaled.
I don't know the answer for you. So.
Oh,
damn it.
That's it for news and notes.
Now you're gonna make me look it up. God bless America.
What was that called?
That new segment here on GKW. What was that called? That's the new segment. What was that called? AOP and Ellering with Karrion Kross was the...
It was a group. They were
Ladies
in
and gentlemen, the group.
Ooh. Ellering had his newspaper.
The Wall Street Journal.
Uh-huh.
Rolled
Very
up.
Important.
What did it say?
God, I was hoping that...
Yeah, even Google doesn't remember.
That was a dead end. No. I was hoping that their the Wikipedia page for Karrion would have it. It doesn't. Final Testament.
Look at there that.
Final Testament.
That's it for news and notes.
What did you guys have for your matches?
Well, before I could tweet it, there is Brian Rowitz right there, Johnny on the spot, or in this case, Brian on the spot, tweeting at the account, GKW_wrestling. Hood must be enjoying this show, Wrestle Dream, all these great tag team matches.
I literally have three tag team matches, two from that show.
I mean, because I you know me, I love tag team wrestling, and I got it all there. It was fantastic.
Yes, you did.
I mean, Jurassic Express versus Young Bucks was fantastic. Really, really enjoy. I thought that was a great way to reintroduce Jurassic Express in the ring with the win over the Young Bucks. Okada Takeshita versus Brodito, absolutely fantastic. Especially the ending, where it's clearly an accident, but Okada doesn't care and still took great pride in giving the clothesline to Takeshita. Like, I guess I caught him, but I really don't care.
So last week, Brian, we were trying to figure out, like, it's Okada and Takeshita. Neither one of those guys going to take a pinfall. Who's going to take the fall there? And, like, Okada, like a champion, took the pinfall. And, like, oh, my God. I did, like, the Cobra. I'm like, this guy is, like, a top five wrestler in the world. And he took the pin. I'm like, what? He ate the pin? Like, because that made no sense. Like, because we tried to figure out, like, the question was, what's the stories going to come out of Wrestle Dream?
Right.
And Gabe, we come to find out it was Sting.
it's Sting.
But that's the thing that surprised me. I thought that was the best of the three, Okada Takeshita against Brodito, because I definitely thought that Brodito was going to be Jackson State in the NCAA tournament in this one, right? And it was not the case. I was like, they won the match. How?
Yeah.
Well, and he does the, what is the 21 plex with a one arm.
I hate that move so much.
Because you have to wait for it. I hate moves like that.
I don't like the load up. I don't like the load up. It takes too long.
I agree with that. But then even to run it back last night and do Okada versus Bandido, like Bandido's on a hell of a run right now.
He's the guy. He just happens to be on ROH. But at least he gets a chance to wrestle on Dynamite or Collision, unlike Athena.
We are seeing the tag team titles defended. I think that's the biggest difference right now. Like, we're seeing the titles on TV. Brody King's getting to be in that prominent spot. Like, all those two do is deliver anytime they're in the ring.
I love the Judgment Day against AJ Lee for the World Tag Team titles.
See what you know, in an old WWE, when they're still upset with AJ Lee, they would have run with that name.
Oh, absolutely.
And like, not even say like, oh, we have AJ Lee. Yes. And it's like, wait, what?
Yeah.
But that was the third match I also had. I had three tag team matches.
I also have from SmackDown, Sammy versus Dragunov. The U.S. title challenge, I guess, is over now, but.
Oh, yeah.
I like the surprise.
Yeah.
And I healthy Dragunov. He's out of his mind. By the way, not a great reception. Some of those people forgot about him.
Yeah.
You notice how light that was? It was San Jose, Sacramento. I think we're in Northern California. I think Sacramento, maybe.
Yeah.
They didn't know who he was. And I'm like, I know who that guy is. He's awesome.
He's got a chest hat now.
I know. This is a problem in America now, in our wrestling. Got Dom with the neck tattoo now. Just like, you know, there's a time the three of us, because we're professional people, we're afraid of the tattoo because we want to be hired.
Right.
The three of us. That's why we don't have tattoos on our neck and in our arms. It's like, I was always afraid of it personally. And so now it's just, my career's made. Let's just put tattoos everywhere.
I mean, Cody set the precedent. I feel like it's like, what are we doing here?
Just an awkward tattoo. He's still Cody's. Uh-huh. It's not even close.
The finish of the Battle Royal.
Sure.
To know that, so now you know that's Jay and CM Punk. Sure,
yeah, it happened.
Anything? Anything we're missing? Women's?
I don't think so.
Women's WWE? Nope.
No. I mean, last night, the women's tag match last night was fun. The 4-way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good, like precursor for the tag tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice little setting of the table there.
Yeah.
Great wrestling. Great.
No. We've had some good in-ring action. That's only going to continue as we get closer to, again, the women's tag team tournament starting over in AEW. Storylines building up for the first Saturday Night's main event that we're going to have two of in the last 2 months of the year over in WWE plus Survivor Series. How are they going to build toward War Games and Blood and Guts and all these different things? One thing's for sure, though, we're going to talk about it right here with a CD next week on GKW.